Speak to us through the scriptures this day, O God. By the power of your Holy Spirit, give us a deeper understanding of your word for our lives and our times. Through Christ, the living word. Amen. Our first scripture reading is Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, and it's on page 1514 in your pew Bible. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So friends, this morning we're going to look once more at the 23rd Psalm. You may have heard it before. And I just want to just offer just kind of some space for us to quiet our minds and our hearts as we prepare to hear God's promises from Scripture. Friends, listen now to God's word for the church this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So last Sunday, if you were with us, we looked pretty much exclusively at Psalm 23, verse 1, that verse that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and therefore I shall not want." That verse that really sets the tone for the entire passage. This reality of God as our shepherd really sets the tone for the entire psalm. The Lord is our shepherd, and therefore we find our safety, our security, our sufficiency in him. Now the rest of the passage, describes the manner in which God shepherds his people. And today what we're going to look at the next verse. We're going to look exclusively at verse 2 today, which says this, that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Green pastures and still waters. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? You know, we hear this verse, and in our minds, you know, we envision kind of like this lush meadow, this beautiful oasis, like a Thomas Kincaid painting or something along those lines. And yet we know from our own experiences that life doesn't always feel like green pastures and still waters. Is that fair? Yeah. You know, it's good for us to Remember that this psalm emerged from a particular context, namely from the life of King David. And from what we know of King David, he experienced some pretty dark valleys of sorrow and of anguish. And these are all very well documented in the scriptures, because here is a man that spent years running from his life, hiding from King Saul, who desperately wanted to kill him. Here is a man who had to face the shame and the sin of adultery with Bathsheba, also well documented. And not only that, but that he basically ordered the assassination of her husband as well. David knew the grief and the anguish of losing a child, 2 Samuel 12. And I mean, these words also are attributed to King David. This is from Psalm 13. Listen to this prayer that emerges from the life of King David. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? It doesn't really sound like green pastures and still waters, does it? And so Psalm 23 is not trying to paint like this rosy picture of life in this world. Now, this psalm is very realistic. And David here is expressing something about the nature and the character of God, namely that God, no matter what season we're in, that God is serious about our rest, and God is serious about our restoration. That is what God longs to do in our lives. Now, if you own a car, which many of us do, one of the things that requires constant attention is our fuel gauge, right? And I was raised in a very particular way around this. Like my father was like, it was like quarter tank. If you let it get below that, I mean, that might as well have been like a deadly sin in our house. It's like you just didn't do it, right? And so I've always kind of lived like that in my adult life. But something happened like a couple of years ago when like gas prices were just losing their minds. I started to let it go a little bit more. I didn't want to go fill up because it was super expensive. And so I would kind of see like how close can I get to empty. Now, I want us to sit with that image just for a moment there. I meant to have it for the screen, but we'll just have to use our imaginations. I want you to think of that image of the fuel gauge. And you know, that needle is somewhere from full to empty. And I want to consider for a moment that in this present moment, in terms of your joy, your energy, your well-being, where would you place yourself there on that scale from full to empty? Where is it that you find yourself this day? Now, you may be here today feeling full. I mean, you may be feeling full of life and hope and joy, and if that's the case, I really do praise God for that. But I suspect there are others of us who, I don't know, maybe you're somewhere in the middle. And I'm also certain that there are some of us here and some of us listening to this that feel just somewhat depleted. That maybe in our lives we feel like we're just running dangerously close to empty, whether that be emotionally or physically or spiritually or perhaps all of the above. A.J. Swoboda is an author. He wrote a book on the Sabbath, and in that book, this is what he says. He says that we have become the most emotionally exhausted, psychologically overworked, spiritually malnourished people in history. It's quite a bold claim when you think about it. Though based on kind of what I've seen, some of the conversations that I've had, I can't say that I disagree. Now, as a pastor, one of the things that I can recall is I had many conversations with members of my churches, people that were in their 60s, 70s, 80s. And those conversations went something like this. I said, you know what, Danny, like I'm in this season where I'm retired. I don't have work responsibilities. I'm doing fine. I have everything that I need. But why is it that I'm so tired and restless? Like, I thought that I'd get to this point and I'd be living this carefree life, but that just hasn't been the case. So we live in this age of chronic stress and anxiety and burnout, and I'm talking about people of all ages and stages. It doesn't just apply to those who are working 60, 70 hour weeks and trying to raise a family. It doesn't just apply to those with overbooked schedules. But people of every age and stage are dealing with restlessness and anxiety and burnout. This is the water that we swim in now. And I want you to know today that if you are dealing with such things, first, I want you to know that you are not alone. And second, I want you to know that God is serious. Like I said, God is serious about our rest and our restoration, which is why Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest." You know, that's one of those texts, it's one of those passages that kind of gets lifted out and maybe separated from its context a little bit. But the reason that Jesus said that is because he was seeing his people just under the weight of the law, and he was seeing the works of the Pharisees and what they were putting upon the people, that in order to be faithful to God, that in order to satisfy this God, that you have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to wash your hands this way, and you have to do this on the Sabbath, and you can't do that. And Jesus said, no, that's not it. That's not it. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And my hope is to give you rest. I mean, how good is that we have a God that says that to us? Come to me and I will give you rest. Back in the 1970s, two doctors, cardiologists actually, coined a term called hurry sickness. Now, hurry sickness is not like an actual medical diagnosis, but it describes a pattern of behavior that includes anxiety and fatigue and a constant state of urgency. I want to list off some of the signs of hurry sickness, and I'm going to read a couple of these off, and you can kind of decide for yourself if any of these describe you. So here we go. Moving from one checkout line to another because it looks shorter or faster. Anybody? Driving faster than the speed limit. Multitasking to the point of forgetting one of the tasks. Waking up and immediately checking our phone for messages, alerts, or emails. Gosh, that's me right there. When some time is unexpectedly freed up, you use it to do work or chores. Or you get highly irritable when encountering a delay. I mean, like, I've done half of these, and it's not even noon. And so have I covered everyone yet? If not, I mean, you can grab a cup of coffee. I'm not really sure that this sermon really applies to you any longer. But the fact is that all of us, like I said, no matter our age or stage, we deal with these things, that we all deal with a certain level of hurry sickness. And these are things we don't really consider all that big of a deal. You know, moving to the fastest checkout line, I mean, isn't that just life? Isn't that just what we do? But all of these things, they seem innocent, they seem really trivial, they seem small, but they are symptomatic of a disease of the soul, that all of these things, whether it's hurry or restlessness, busyness or anxiety, these are things that steal our joy and rob us of intimacy with God. And sometimes we get into these seasons, and I think we've all been here. Like, we get into these times in our lives where we just kind of feel a little bit spiritually malnourished. We feel a little bit dry, and that God seems a little bit distant, and we begin to wonder, why is that? Like, why is it that I feel this way? Why do these green pastures and still waters just seem so far away, seem so elusive? And it's good for us to ask ourselves a hard question, and it's this, that it is the way that I'm living compatible with the way of Jesus? I mean, we often use that language, right, of our walk with Christ. Right, our walk with Christ. And yet, I can think of times in my life where it's felt as though I was running, and what happens is that Jesus just kind of gets left behind. Walter Adams, who was the spiritual director to C.S. Lewis, put it this way. He said, to walk with Jesus is to walk with a slow, unhurried pace. I find it remarkable that in the Gospels, the life and ministry of Jesus, it never once seems as though Jesus was in a hurry. I mean, find me the passage. Find me the passage where Jesus is, oh gosh, I got to get to Capernaum. Like, I mean, just look at what he's like, how remarkably present he was with people, so present to the moment, supernaturally present. That's who Christ was, never in a hurry. You know, I think about this moment in the Gospels in Mark chapter 6, where you may remember this story. Jesus sends out the 12 disciples, and he tells them to go to the surrounding villages and proclaim the kingdom of God. And it says in Mark 6, verse 13, that these disciples, that these uneducated and very ordinary men, that they cast out demons, and they anointed many sick people with oil, and they healed them. It's amazing. And later on in the chapter, this is what it says. This is Mark chapter 6, verses 30 and 31. It says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. The disciples came back and they were telling Jesus everything that they have done. Jesus, we cast out demons and we healed the sick. And Jesus doesn't look at them and say, all right, cool, go out and do it again. I mean, imagine if you were one of those disciples and there's just crowds of people. Crowds of people longing for hope and healing, and you might think like let's get back out there, let's keep busy, let's keep healing. There's people that need our help. That Jesus says, no, come away to a quiet place and get some rest. I mean, have something to eat. And this is the invitation that is put forth to us in Psalm 23. These words invite us to slow down and to be with God. And notice that I didn't say do for God, because something I have learned over the years is that we are far more comfortable with doing for God than we are being with. But Psalm 23 invites us to be with God, to experience and to know his presence and to rest in green meadows and beside still waters. And I don't know, maybe you're hearing this, or maybe you're listening to this and you think that it all kind of sounds good in theory. That it sounds really good and it sounds really nice, all of this talk about rest and slowing down and green pastures, still waters. It's all well and good, but tomorrow's Monday and my alarm's going to go off at this exact same time. And work will still be there. The email inbox isn't going to clear itself, and family responsibilities will still be there, and people will still depend on me, and my elderly parent or my spouse will still need care, and I'll still have this nagging health issue to deal with. I mean, how do I experience the peace of Jesus, these still waters, these green pastures? How do I experience what David speaks of in Psalm 23? And I totally hear and I resonate with that. And believe me when I tell you that I need this message as much as anyone. But the encouragement that I would like to leave you with today is this: to consider your life, your day-to-day life, your routine, your rhythm, how you move about your days, and consider where it is that you might find a moment of communion with God. Not do for God, but be with God. In Scripture, in a moment of prayer, what would that look like in the midst of your life and all that it entails to slow down and be with Jesus? Now, all of us, we are really wired differently. We're put together differently, so I'm not going to try and put forth some kind of add water and stir method for doing this. You know, for some of us, it might just be spending some time in silence and solitude. For others of us, it might mean, I don't know, maybe turning off the news and doing something that might restore and replenish us. Or maybe it's somewhere in your day and just taking some time to do nothing. Winnie the Pooh once said that. Winnie the Pooh once said, don't underestimate the value of doing nothing. It's great wisdom in that show. And it's brilliant that in doing nothing, then maybe we'll realize that life doesn't depend on me, it depends on him. Like I said, it's going to look different for all of us, but this I know for sure, and this is good news, you have a Father in heaven who longs to meet with you. Isn't that something? That you have a Father in heaven that wants nothing more than to be with you. That you have a Father in heaven who longs to be present with you and for you, that you might know his peace. That in a world that often looks like barren wilderness, that he longs to lead you to green pastures and to still waters, that your soul might be renewed and replenished and restored. Friends, I want to leave you with these words. This is the text that we just heard a few minutes ago from Matthew 11. This is that very same text from the Eugene Peterson's The Message paraphrase. So I want to leave you with these words. This is the invitation from our Lord Jesus, friends. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you, but keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Church, may it be so. Amen. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this invitation, Lord, that you invite us to keep company with you, to be with you. Thank you for being with and alongside us in our lives, and we ask your forgiveness, Lord, for the moments in our lives when we forget that. When we think too small of you and we forget that you are ever present with us. And we ask that as we worship and as we go from this place and as we go about our lives, that you would help us to be mindful of what you are doing, that you would give us eyes to see you more clearly, ears to hear you more fully. God, that in a very noisy world, help us to hear your voice and help us to hear and respond to this invitation, the invitation from your Lord Jesus, from our Lord Jesus, who says, come to me and I will give you rest. It's in his name, Father, that we pray. Amen.